com.
Finally, the first miner from that Chilean mine has been rescued. Bravo. 32 men to go, and that's where we start. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, the name of the show, America Tonight. You can be a part of it as we zig and zag all over the place. We're like lots of crazy people with ADD, because I think all of us have a little bit of that ADD monster in us, which means that's why we zig and zag all over the place, from left to right and all the nooks and crannies in between. You can always throw in your two cents. How about a woman who gives you her digits without even asking? 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. That's not the only thing we're going to talk about in this hour, but that is a huge, huge story. Also pretty big on the list, deep water drilling. The moratorium has been lifted. So what gives? Why was it lifted? It was supposed to go all the way through November. There's been a lot of pressure from the Gulf region to lift that moratorium because it's crippling many of the companies who say, look at the safety record, look at the inspections. Why are you doing this to us? Also, remember Bishop Long, who's in trouble, the allegations about sexual misconduct with some boys? Well, this popular bishop is now looking at being sued for defaulting on a loan. So it just gets worse for him. Here's where we start, though. Let's give you a little bit more on the miners. It's been how many days? 68, 69, actually, days since those miners were trapped. I said this in a previous show. Can you even fathom what it's like? I mean, just close your eyes, curl yourself up in a ball, and sit in darkness for even an hour where you can barely breathe in a tight place. And it probably wouldn't even feel exactly like that. Psychologically, I just can't even imagine it. But here's the great news. Like I said, already you've got one up, and after 2 months, they're getting closer to getting the rest of the men out. So now it's a question of how are they going to fare mentally after all that time underneath, you know, underneath the earth. And also the families. Can you imagine going through this experience, the stress symptoms that they would feel, the claustrophobia, the jumpiness, the fears, all that stuff. And they're going to be changed. I mean, the family's going to be changed, and these miners are going to be changed. But what I'm especially proud of in just the story on the rescue effort is the fact that so many Americans rushed to help almost immediately with any of the technology, anything they knew that would help bring these miners back to the surface. So a lot of Americans were used in this rescue effort. And I think it's probably the way things are timing out. It's going to take hours and hours for all of it to be over. But the fact that so far no one's been lost in this rescue effort after that massive amount of time, and just to breathe in the air at the surface, it would have to be, I'm sure, an unbelievable feeling coming up in that capsule, because it's a capsule that was a pretty tight fit, I'm sure, for the miners. Really slender kind of capsule that had to go all the way down 2,000 plus feet to help bring them to the surface. And I looked at a diagram, and this is radio, but I looked at a diagram that somebody showed me earlier in the day, and it's almost like it kind of reminded me of, and this is a tough analogy, but when you go to the bank and you're putting your money or your check or whatever in that little canister that they suck up into the bank when you're pulling into the drive-thru, you know, you do the drive-thru banking, it kind of reminded me of that. The tube is, of course, big, but the same premise. They're going all the way down the 2,000 feet plus and then pulling them all the way up. And after all of this time and all the Chileans who have gathered to greet them at the surface, bravo, that is absolutely hands down the daily salute. In fact, I think in Minneapolis, the studio audience that we have pumped full of Red Bull are incredibly excited about this story as well. We might have some applause for the daily salute. There they are. Yep. Because I got to tell you, I remember when I first heard this story, I thought, oh, here we go again. Just like West Virginia, just like all these other accidents we've heard about over the years, these guys are toast. There's just no way they're going to survive this. And lo and behold, they did. And I can't wait to hear their stories because that's going to be interesting afterwards. What was that like to be there for 2 months? All right, let's slide over to deep water drilling and the moratorium being lifted. Well, remember before April 20th, that fateful day when you had the Deepwater Horizon, the explosion, and the worst oil catastrophe in our history, it was all about drill, baby, drill. And then suddenly everything was iced, and it is now thawing out, I guess, a tad for all of those operators who are complying with some very tough new rules and regulations. Because there's no doubt about it. There's no 100% in this thing. There is always going to be risks when you talk about deep water drilling. So first you had Ken Salazar, who I think should have been fired for the way he handled the disaster in the first place. But let's move on from there. So he still has the gig as the Interior Secretary. And it was back in May that he laid the hammer down and talked about the fact that, okay, this is it. We're just going to have to freeze everything at this point as we watch all this oil gush into the Gulf. We got to make sure that we know what's happening on these platforms. So the initial moratorium then, of course, was overturned by a federal judge. That ruling was upheld in an appeals court, so nobody ever really went back to work there. And then there was that second ban in June that was supposed to expire in November. This is where we are. So I would be one of those critics of the ban, but there were plenty of people who were very critical about it. And a lot of people from the Gulf state region said this is crippling us. It's killing oil and gas workers that have already been slammed in our communities. We're losing hundreds of jobs. This is awful. No, we don't want an environmental disaster. But if these companies are cooperating and then some and they're deemed to be safe, listen, you got to give them some room here. So now they're getting that room. This decision is 3 weeks before the congressional elections, of course, where the Democrats have their backs against the wall big time, and they might lose seats in both chambers, the House and the Senate. Maybe control of the House. I don't think they will in the Senate, but we'll see. And is this a politically motivated move to help the Gulf state candidates in some really tough races? I'm going to say that the administration will say no, that this was a deliberate kind of thing, and that Ken Salazar really worked over all of these companies as far as the regulations are concerned. But I'd call foul on that. It's absolutely about politics and getting reelected. Hang with us. An interesting, very sad story coming up next.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LifeBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery and just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring 2 wind generators on just 1 tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
One can only imagine what it's like to lose a son to suicide. How awful for the family of 18-year-old Rutgers student Tyler Clementi. We've been talking about that a lot here on America Tonight. It must have been just gut-wrenching to hear he jumped off the George Washington Bridge and killed himself in the wake of being bullied and harassed at school. Now, there's some proposed legislation that's being discussed for an anti-bullying law after this suicide. We're going to get to that in a second. Right now, though, Vanita Halliburton sadly lost her son, Grant, different circumstances, but a talented, talented young artist at the age of 19. And she's started a foundation to help educate people for the warning signs, to look for those warning signs of suicide. We're very pleased to have her here on America Tonight. Vanita, thanks for joining us on the show.
My pleasure, Kate. Thank you.
First, let's talk about your reaction, because you pay close attention to what's happening to teenagers, young teenagers out there. And you heard of the suicide of Clementi, and then more of the details started to emerge that his roommates had taped him and broadcasted over the Internet. And he was obviously humiliated. And we think, anyway, that's partially what led this talented young man to, because apparently he was just an incredible musician, to feel so distraught that he went to the bridge that connected New Jersey and New York, one of them anyway, the GW Bridge, and just jumped off the bridge. I mean, just such a sad story. What were your initial thoughts when you heard that?
Well, my heart breaks every time I hear of a young person giving up hope. And it can be any one of a number of catalysts. It could be bullying, can be abuse, could be depression. But anything that causes such psychological pain, humiliation, or hopelessness that a young person feels there is no way out but to die, that's just a tragedy.
Let's tie this in with your son, Grant. I mentioned him, but just broad strokes. And I've seen some of his artwork, by the way, and he really was a talented, talented young man. What happened with Grant? What led to his suicide?
Grant was a very gifted kid, and I usually talk about him just to introduce him to people because he's not the kind of kid that we would stereotypically think of as someone who battles depression. But when he was 14, he was diagnosed with depression, and he kind of fought it on and off for the next 5 years. And then when he got to be about 18 years old, things began to change. There was a different kind of behavior. Suddenly, we were dealing with alcohol and drugs. And one day he came to me and said, "Mom, I really need to get some help. I'm not going to be able to live a normal life if I can't go somewhere where they can help me." So he asked to be checked into a hospital, which, of course, we did, and he was in there for 30 days. Mm-hmm. He was immediately diagnosed with bipolar disorder 1, which is the most serious form of the disease. And 6 weeks later, he had 2 weeks out of the hospital, he took his own life.
Wow. And here he had gotten help. But I think, and you could probably even address this more than I can, but I've heard this from other people that the 30 days often isn't, it seems like it's enough, and they, and some of the kids make you feel like they're doing okay, and then suddenly you turn around and tragedy, you know, befalls you. Is that kind of what you think happened there with Grant? Was that same syndrome?
Absolutely. And what I say so often is, if only I had known then what I know now. There are some very definite warning signs that someone is at risk for taking his or her own life. And yet, in all the 5 years I battled my son's depression alongside him, no one ever put those signs of suicide into my hands. And, you know, now I know that the time immediately after release from a psychiatric treatment facility is a time of very high risk for suicide. And, I can't imagine any other medical illness where the doctors would not tell you things to watch out for that might signal a worsening of your disease. And yet, for whatever reasons, psychiatrists and counselors often don't push that sheet of paper across the table to you and say, you might want to take a look at this list. You know, if this person starts to call people or email them and sort of say these subtle goodbyes, if they start giving things away, if you see sudden changes in they're giving away prized possessions, they lose interest in their personal appearance, things like that. I have a list of 12 things on our website, 12 signs of a person at risk for suicide. I can check off 11 things on that list that exactly fit my son in the weeks before he died.
Wow. Now, you've told us some of them, and we'll send everyone to the website, too, but tell us what some of the others are, and that makes sense, giving away prized possessions. Now that you say it, it makes sense. I would have thought the same thing that you thought. Also, losing interest in personal appearance and whatnot. What other things are on the list that people might, listening to us tonight, might be able to look for?
Well, like many things, it wouldn't be just one of these things, but when you start to see clusters of them, that's mm-hmm. when you should start to worry. A sense of hopelessness about the future. I think that is what most people, whether it's bullying or whatever it is, they give up hope. You know, with my son, he gave all of us a chance to help him get well. The mental health providers, parents, family, friends, and when that did not happen for him, he gave up hope. If you see drastic changes in behavior or personality and really uncharacteristic recklessness or risk-taking, those are signs that you might want to look at. Certainly a preoccupation with death, dying, or suicide, and you can see that in young people, especially through their writing or their artwork or their music. It comes out that they really just seem obsessed with the dark side of things and with death. Certainly increased use of alcohol or drugs because, as you know, that is a form of self-medication. You're just trying to ease the psychological pain that's going on inside. A big one is withdrawal from friends, family, and society. They just begin to take a step back and pull back from all their relationships.
Wow. After Grant died and you started to digest, wow, I wish I had that sheet of paper, as you describe it, put in front of me, and then I could have looked at some of the signs on this list, maybe things would have been different. You decided to start the foundation, and And tell me what that's been like for you, the foundation, because I imagine while you're helping people, it's probably also helping you.
Absolutely. I remember that after Grant died, I just felt like, although we had lost the battle for peace of mind and health for Grant, that I should just we should just take up the battle for other young people and other families, and we've just made it our mission to try to help young people understand the signs and sort of take some responsibility for what's going on in their own lives and in the lives of their friends. So we really try to educate teenagers about stress and depression and bullying, and then certainly about signs that someone is in real crisis, and parents as well. You know, we go out and we speak to parents. We have a lot of things going on there. We also started a coalition. It's the only coalition in North Texas that's focused solely on adolescent mental health and suicide prevention. And in that case, we have gathered together the mental health professionals in our community to get them to work on the problems and doing things like getting pediatricians to use a depression screening tool as part of a young person's physical checkup.
Things like that we think will
help to improve the way we serve the mental health needs of our young people.
Boy, I agree with that, absolutely. Back to what initially I was saying with the young man, Tyler Clementi, who ended his life after he was bullied, at least we think that certainly is what happened, in harassment. Now there's calls for this anti-bullying law after his suicide. You think this is a good thing?
I do. While most states do have anti-bullying laws, and, you know, a federal law would certainly put some strength behind that, I guess, but most of the laws have really vague consequences to the bully, and they're vague at best, and they just don't really, they're not very effective. But, you know, Kate, what I really think is important, we have laws in our country to protect us against a lot of things, a lot
mm-hmm.
of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't prevent the crimes, but they do provide some backup and some consequences. It really is going to take more than laws to change the bullying mentality and the epidemic that's going on among young people in our schools. It's going to take teenagers themselves being more aware of what bullying is all about and how to respond to it. It's going to take parents knowing what to do, schools certainly. It's got to be dealt with from the young person out in this just widening circle of people around a young person. And so while I think laws are important, they're not the entire answer.
Well, absolutely, I agree. For more information on this, terrific that Vanita is really reaching out to so many, go to, of course, the three W's, www.granthalliburton.org, to find out more of how you can just have conversations and get involved in your child's life and in others. Vanita, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
10 years.
Genesis.
A decade of talk.
Genesis.
Great talk radio is here on the Genesis Communications Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
Well, proud-hearted and confused, because maybe you've been starting to losing out on everything you might try to do. That little fella's got the hold on you.
Well, you have to really hand it, I think, to Vanita for being so open about what happened with her son and hopefully helping somebody else with what she is able to do when she speaks to PTA groups and schools and, you know, anyone who will have her, basically, to try to get the word out about the red flags and the lists and the things to look for, because I think she's dead on about that. The fact that for so long, first of all, mental health was just shoved out into the background. Now, at least it's in the forefront, but especially with teenagers, in trying to find a way to make sure that they've got that lifeline, that they're okay when they say they're okay, that they really are, and they're not just telling you that. You know, it's really a thin line and very tough, having no experience with this, but talking to other people like Vanita, it's very tough to be able to know if that in fact is the truth. And she just pours her, you can tell she just pours herself into this, which I think is tremendous, because I guarantee there's people out there who have heard her, who she is helping, that now have a better understanding of what's going on with their children and somebody who might be troubled in their family. Now, part of having her on, it's interesting, it kind of coincides with the fact that you've got Senator Lautenberg from New Jersey, who, and of course this is in light of what happened at Rutgers University, is saying that colleges should have a code of conduct that forbids bullying and harassment. The problem is, pretty tough to enforce that, because then you would be dealing with, okay, where's the line? And, you know, there would have to be, I think, very strict student handbook rules that would apply in certain situations. Because I guarantee the roommates, stupid and pathetically, what they did was just flat out wrong. But did they think that they were going to drive him to the George Washington Bridge and he was going to kill himself and end his life because of it? I don't think so. Still, it was wrong, and they need to be charged with this, especially with the invasion of privacy. That's where they can really, I think, get the two, the one roommate and the cohort who was part of it. I think they can nail them on it, and this will be big to see where this ends up, because this goes along with bullying and technology and all that sort of stuff. And there's a new survey out that actually has found that while technology has become so intertwined with college students and their crazy lives, being always connected, especially at college, comes at an often high cost. And that was a prime example of it. I don't know what other colleges will do. I know that Rutgers is seriously looking at trying to add something to the handbook so that they don't get in this situation again. You don't have students taping something and other students doing that in their privacy that they wouldn't want out there that is no one's business, that suddenly becomes news and people start talking about it. So we move from that very serious, sad thing that's happening in a couple of instances across the country to what we first started talking about on America Tonight, besides the rescue of the Chilean miners. There's already one miner who's been pulled after 68 days, and now they're working on the rest of them, so there's 32 left, 32 to go. But I also mentioned this deep water moratorium, the drilling, and the fact that now it's been lifted, and whether or not it's because of politics. Because hundreds and hundreds of people are slammed without any of that do-re-mi in their wallet. It's just moths that are coming out of their wallets, you know, literally because of this disaster that happened back in April and just now, what within the last month ended. The lifting of the moratorium, the timing is sketchy. And the reason, I think part of the reason that it happened is because of the pressure that Salazar was feeling from those that are running and trying to get reelected, because of course it's going to affect some of the results. But the bottom line is, who benefits from all of this? Here's what the Interior Secretary had to say earlier in the day.
There will always be risks associated with deepwater drilling, but we have now reached a point where we have significantly, in my view, reduced those risks. I appreciate that in the last few months, the oil and gas industry has committed $1 billion to develop its blowout containment capabilities, and BP is contributing its equipment to that effort under an agreement that BP has made. I have decided that it is now appropriate to lift the suspension on deepwater drilling for those operators that are able to clear the higher bar we have set.
All right, so what's the main thing, this higher bar? The higher bar, simply as it was explained to me, is one of the obvious things that I think anybody off the street would know is part of this. The operators of these platforms have to show that their proposed development and exploration plans can deal with potential blowouts and undergo detailed inspections and even design reviews of blowout preventers by an independent third party. The other thing is, so thinking about that, that's going to take time for some of these companies anyway to be in full compliance of that. But some of those permits will be resumed and drilling will start, I'm sure, as fast as they can get it going, because I guarantee a lot of those companies, they knew this and they're way ahead of the curve on it, and they're not going to approve permits without all that information that's now required by some of these new rules. So now you got a Democrat like Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana, who's been a massive critic of the moratorium from the get-go. She knows which side her bread is buttered on, trust me, having grown up there, been there, watched this whole thing unfold. And she's saying that Tuesday's announcement at least is a good step in the right direction, but there's more help that has to happen for the oil and gas industry to get back to work, because it's still crippled. So you got to accelerate the granting of permits in shallow and deep water and provide more clarification about the rules and regulations, because there's still some things that aren't really quite clear. What I said to you in a nutshell is the gist of it. The blowouts, having a way to deal with it, the detailed inspections, the third party, okay, whatever, that makes sense. But how fast do the people get back to work is the key to some politicians keeping their jobs. You want to talk to someone who is more than hot over what's happened since April and the handling of it, and here we are, you know, 6 weeks out of everything being capped off. Talk to anyone in Louisiana, and especially certainly along that Gulf Coast region. Even if you look to the panhandle in Florida, talk to some of the people there and in Mississippi, because it's been a killer. It has been a killer in so many areas of their lives. So it's about kickstarting everything. I mean, kickstarting it. And how can you 100% say, let's say to an environmental group, has enough been done to prevent another rig explosion or a spill like the one that took place with BP? And you know what? There is no 100% in any of this. Who gets 100%? Nobody. It's like when we talk about terror. I don't care what plots and plans and what's in place and what's happening at the airport and what's happening with the very lame, often after the fact, Homeland Security. Oops. There's no 100% in this game, and there's no 100% in the oil and gas game either. Now, the Republican governor, Bobby Jindal of Louisiana, is saying the moratorium should have been lifted sooner, and he's right. And he's also worried that all these bottlenecks in the permit review process have really resulted in only shallow water drilling, because overall, that moratorium hit 36 different companies. Half were able to continue some of the work anyway, because they were digging relief tunnels that capped the broken well, so they got involved in that. So lifting this moratorium means applications for 18 specifically exploratory wells can move forward. So they move another piece forward on the board. And still, it's all those things we said. They have to, you know, meet the regulations and whatnot. So they're going to be taking applications for drilling. They're going to have to process the applications under this now a little bit altered road map that's been dug up or created or whatever, dreamed up in the last 6 months. So the question is, how quickly do some of these companies get back to work? And like I said, some of them will be able to jump on it pretty quickly. But others are still going to have to scurry around trying to meet these new requirements. So Jindal is right. This should have happened sooner. Should have happened sooner. But at least they lifted it. So if it's a month ahead of schedule, if it's 2 months ahead of schedule, whatever it is, it's something for the people whose livelihoods have been slammed and shut down for months. Can you imagine this? Suddenly, you have like a 6 month hiatus from your job, and you really have to go and scramble and fend for yourself in some cases to try to make up that money. Like, you might get a check here and there, but it's not guaranteed money, so it's not every 2 weeks. It's not any kind of pay schedule. And you're having to beat up a big company to prove, okay, I would normally get X, Y, Z. Yeah, that would be rough. You don't want to go through that. And some of you have gone through that, so you know what it's like. It's like looking for a job, but you don't have any of that extra cash in the bank to live on. It's rough. Coming up, we've got Weekend Counts next.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey Water Filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. We'll say it again. All types of batteries for all types of gadgets. Electronics, toys, flashlights, computers, accessories, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Whatever type battery you need, alkaline, lithium, gel cell, NiCad, metal hydride, sealed lead acid, and more are at BatteryStation.com. Our homepage gives you quick access to ham, marine, police, fire, and aviation batteries. Plus, choose from our great selection of LED flashlights with no bulb to ever burn out and much longer battery life. Find many top brands, including Streamlight, Pelican, Surefire, Novatek, Gerber, and more at BatteryStation.com. You'll also find the most popular brands of ammunition and watertight cases for storing guns, food, electronics, survival gear, and more at BatteryStation.com. Call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. You will be surprised when you visit BatteryStation.com.
To ship a vehicle safely from point A to point B, which company should you choose? Easy. Stateway Auto Transport. Why trust Patriot-owned Stateway Auto Transport? Many reasons. Stateway is not just a broker, but a fully licensed and bonded carrier with its own fleet of trucks and $1 million of cargo coverage insurance. With Stateway, your vehicle rides safely on a direct route on the same truck, and your shipment is always door-to-door with no hidden fees, and every shipment includes free online vehicle tracking. Simply put, Stateway Auto Transport is the best, most efficient, quickest, and friendliest worldwide shipper in the business. To receive a free quote from a live customer service representative, call 877-848-7474 or see us online at statewayauto.com. That's statewayauto.com or call 877-848-7474. Ask about discounts for seniors, military, and all GCN listeners. Stateway Auto Transport, your one-stop shop for worldwide vehicle transport.
Sarah Palin. Some of you love the Moose Hutton lady. Others of you can't stand her, but boy, she can raise money. The former Alaska governor raised more than $1.2 mil for her political action committee during the last quarter. The financial disclosure, you know, they filed this stuff that was filed on Tuesday by her Sarah PAC, that's what they call it, shows the 2008 VP candidate and potential 2012 presidential contender, she's playing coy on that, spent about $1 million during that time, most of it for consulting in areas like coalitions and media and all that kind of stuff, finance, international affairs. She also gave money to about 15 candidates, including 10 thou to some U.S. Senate hopefuls, Christine O'Donnell of Delaware and a few others. She contributed $10,000 to Joe Miller, who's the big-time Tea Party political upstart, if you will, in Alaska, who upset U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski in the Republican primary and is trying to turn back Murkowski's write-in candidacy that she's been pounding to the ground. So he got his first $5,000 during the primary. It showed up on Palin's previous filing, just for your information. But the key of telling you this is just, wow, that's pretty good money, $1.2 million, and she's dishing it out and helping a few of her friends and making friends along the way, which is what the idea is, especially if you have any desire to run for president. She needs a few friends in the party. Sharon Engel also has the ability to raise a little dough, Ray, me. She raised $14 million in the quarter. There were a lot of people that got behind her despite some of her faux pas when she stumbled a little bit out of the gate. But now that she's neck and neck with Harry Reid, and there are people who absolutely, no matter what, want Reid out of there after 28 years, the Democratic senator's in trouble. So the Republican U.S. Senate candidate, Engel, raised $14 million between, check this out, July 1st and September 30th for her race against Reid in Nevada. Her total for the 3 months surpasses the fundraising of every other prominent candidate running for a Senate seat in November. That's crazy. So she surpassed all of them. Reid hasn't released his third quarter fundraising total, so we don't know what the comparison is there, but chances are she might have topped Harry Reid. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Speaking of Reid, this was a crazy story that broke. You know, you never know who's working for you, I guess, until you look at their financials. So, Chris Miller, who is the top energy aide for Senate Majority Leader Reid, doubled his $3,500 investment in stock of a renewable energy company in just 2 years. So the Wall Street Journal caught wind of it, did a big story on it, and one of Reid's spokespeople, Jim Manley, defended Miller. At first, he said he didn't have any role in creating tax incentives for renewable energy firms, that the stock rose for probably other reasons, but now they're changing their tune. In just a couple of days, Manley said, after he stuck up for him, that it showed poor judgment and that Senator Reid has made it very clear to Chris and all the staff that their actions must not only follow the law, but must meet the higher standards of the public has a right to expect from elected officials and their staffs. Yeah, whatever. At least 72 aides, both Republicans and Democrats, traded shares of companies their congressmen helped oversee, by the way, in 2008 and 2009. Shocker. It's the old, what's in it for me? And let's hope nobody finds out about it, because once somebody finds out about it, then it's a no-no. But if it's all hush-hush, then it's not such a big deal. So I don't think they were expecting that to come out, and Reid's aide really blew it for a few other people. Who's worse off in the pension category? They say Philadelphia, Chicago, and Boston, the worst of the worst. Very blue-collar cities. What happened was a report came out. It was a study by economists at Northwestern University and the University of Rochester. And according to this report, dubbed the Crisis in Local Government Pensions in the U.S., so frightening, the study looked at 77 of the largest municipal-defined pension plans, because there's all kinds of pension plans, which covered 2 million public employees and retirees, so about two-thirds of the nation's total. The liability of all the municipal retirement funds, $574 billion. Philadelphia, they say, is going to run out of money by 2015 to pay the pensions with what they have now on the books with the existing assets. Chicago and Boston by 2019. Chicago faces the highest individual burden for pension liabilities from seven retirement plans, amounting to $42,000 per household. New York City has the second highest per household burden, they would call it, just under $39,000. All I can say is good luck with that. Bummer, though, if your whole life, think about that, someone's whole life doing whatever it is that they do and anticipating, you know, working for this whatever municipality, anticipating that there is going to be this little pot of gold, and it is little, this little pot of gold waiting for them that they need to survive, because after all, Social Security is not even handing out the cost of a raise as far as the cost of living expenses, just saying, okay, well, we're not meeting that now. It's not going up, the cost of living. So your money stays where it is. We're not accounting for any kind of inflation tables here, in other words. So you're pretty much frozen out there, and then you're in trouble with the pensions. Yeah, it's not what it used to be. The gold watch days, in case anyone is confused about that, are so over. So over, 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 and then some. Eddie Long, we talked about him a lot. He fits into the category of we can count. Eddie Long is the controversial Georgia bishop, if you don't know his name, who's being sued now also for defaulting on a property loan in Georgia. A lawsuit that was filed earlier in the week at DeKalb County State Court in Atlanta is ordering Long and others to pay off the $1.9 million, as far as the debt is concerned, in 10 days, or be obligated to pay attorney's fees as well as the principal and the interest. So in other words, that's a whole lot of money. So what does this mean? This all centers around something that happened in August of 2007 when Long and two business partners were part of a group called West Indies Holding Company, and they bought a gym. Oh, don't they know that gyms can really tank? They can tank so quickly, depending on where you are and who's running what. Anyway, they're in trouble with this one. The four lawsuits accuse Long of using his power and influence within this Baptist church to lure young male church members into sexual relationships, as we know, because that's the other part of this. The suit alleges the relationships, which began when the men were in their teens, lasted over many months. Long, who is married, preaches all the time against homosexuality. He's done it for a very long time, and here he's in the middle of that, and now he's in the middle of this other litigation as far as the debt is concerned, and there's only two others attached to it, so his share is pretty hefty. And we don't know what's going to happen with the other charges, but let's just say it's not looking good for Bishop Long, who had the world by a tail because his congregation was growing and growing. He was doing the TV thing. He was starting to write books and all that kind of stuff. And now that's been stymied until everything is sorted out as far as the accusations and what happens if anything criminally happens. Right now, who knows at this point. Certainly the action on the gym will be pressed forward, and he may have to end up really digging into the coffers to shell out his share of the money on that defaulted loan. If you have any thoughts about the show, send them to me. So easy. Just go to americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You will respect my authority.